One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I am Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are here to discuss the wild, the weird, the wondrous of Star Wars. That's what Databank Dive is. We dive into one specific character, vehicle, technology, planet, maybe philosophy some days. Who knows? And we discuss how weird it is, how wild it is, how wondrous it is, and even give it a little ranking. We did a first season of this show on the great sci-fi app, The Companion, 10 episodes there. So if you want to check that out on The Companion, we always encourage that. But we are up to, episode 22, doing it right out here in public in front of everyone.
We're in the park.
And we are enjoying it. Maybe we'll record a live episode in the park.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll go to Hyde Park. This is a lot of fun. We love doing this. And we often, for the most part, release these shows on Sunday during our broadcast week. A little lighter fare for your Sunday afternoons. But what that does for us this week, Joseph, at the time of this release, some of you might be listening to this later, December 18th. This is the 7th anniversary of The Force Awakens release in the U.S. So because of that today, Joseph, in honor of that 7th anniversary of TFA, we are going to be discussing Happabores, and more specifically, the Happabore from The Force Awakens.
The most important central character and moment in The Force Awakens, the Happabore and its posterior.
That's right. I think longtime Force Center listeners, you might be really excited as well, because you know the amount of times that Joseph and I and Jennifer too have referenced that big ol' Happabore butt. We love the Happabore. We love the Happabore. He's one of our favorites. So we're going to dive in. What we do on the show is first we go to StarWars.com's data bank. That's where we get a lot of this. Occasionally, the data bank is empty. Oh, but not for the Happabore. Here's what it says. Strong, patient quadrupeds with oversized snouts, I'd say snoots, and tiny eyes, Happabores are found on several worlds in the galaxy. Their thick skins allow them to resist heat, and their bodies reportedly contain reservoirs where they store water. Happabores are slow but hardy and will trudge along obediently all day carrying cargo and riders. Finn happens upon a Happabore while desperately searching for water in Nima Outpost on Jakku. That is that's a lot there.
Yeah. There are a couple revelations in that to me. I mean, we always like to look at how the databank entries are written. They're all different. I like that this one almost has a Dr. Seuss vibe.
It really does.
With oversized snouts and tiny eyes. Their thick flesh hid their lies. That's not true. They seem very honest. I didn't know they stored water, Ken, which makes me feel even worse for Finn that Happabore rounds the corner to kick him out of the way. You're storing water.
And it's like, well, how could the Happabore share that water? I don't think. I want to find out. As always, we go to Wikipedia for a little bit more. The Wikipedia entries often add a little flavor taken from things in Star Wars books, comics, visual guides that maybe not all of us are familiar with. This is what they say. There was actually a lot there for the Happabore. I pulled out these two statements. Happabores, they had broad mouths with flat yellow teeth inside, which they would use to bite with if provoked. Otherwise, Happabores were largely docile, being known as patient, obedient creatures that could take a lot of abuse.
That's awful.
That's awful.
It starts out so good. Oh, patient, obedient. Yeah. And you can just lay into them. They can take it.
Yeah. No. And a lot of this ties to Sarko Plank. And that story, there's that short story, I think you might have read, maybe I didn't, where Sarko Plank and Luke Skywalker are interacting.
Yeah, it's the Weapon of a Jedi. There's that Road to Force Awakens and the three books, one focusing on Luke, one on Han, one on Leia. And there is a little kind of comic book collection story of Weapon of a Jedi as well. Sarko Plank was such a great design, an action figure and everything, not in the movie. Anyway, we'll talk about him at some point on Databank Dive.
We will. Then there's this statement here. Happabores succumbed to a variety of parasites, and certain companies offered products to help rid them of these parasites. One such product was Happy Bore Medicated Dewormer, distributed by Galactic Stock. Galactic Stock. All right, hold on. What are our thoughts on Happy Bore Medicated Dewormer Medicine?
I don't know if I want in SNL commercial from the 70s with Dan Aykroyd to be canon in Star Wars, because that's all it makes me think of. Do you want Happy Bore Medicated Dewormer? Your Happy Bore needs it.
Yeah, that's right. Do not taunt Happy Bore Medicated Dewormer. Man, that's the Phil Hartman era there too.
Oh yeah, Happy Fun Ball, utter classic.
Happy Fun, yeah, the template for commercial parodies. This is amazing. And this comes from the Rey Survival Guide, which I think was also in that Road to Force Awakens kind of Force Friday release. I didn't pick that up. Yeah, I love this. I mean, it's silly. It's completely silly, but also it's potentially very real. Like this is the thing. If you got Happabores and you got parasites and the two don't mix, you would need some dewormer. So Happy Bore, medicated dewormer. This is something I would love to see sold at Galaxy's Edge.
Do you think Hondo was ever in on this business? Do you think Hondo was trying to sell us?
Yes. Yes. I think we need to look into Galactus stock and see who's behind that business.
Very profitable. Very profitable.
You buy in, just buy in, get more to get beneath you. It's not a pyramid scheme. Love this idea here. So here we go. Let's where we often start though is the description. Joseph, how would we describe Happabores? And I'm saying Happabores, but also again, if you want to go to the Happabore, you can go that way as well.
I feel like the Happabore is a great example of their species, a pretty representative example. So I'll describe Happabores in general. They're gray, overwhelmingly gray. And then I feel like their design to me is a little bit of what if a pig and a rhino had a baby. The snout or the snoot is so pig forward, but then everything about him is just this great clomping around rhino energy.
Yes. Rhino pig. And yeah. And even, cause they're big, obviously, but they're shorter than I maybe would have thought when you look at some of the long shots or mm-hmm. some of the designs. So therefore they kind of remind me, you said pig, but also like if a pig and a dachshund and a rhino all kind of come together.
Oh, they got some wrinkles. Yeah. Throw a dachshund in there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Oh, that's a great description there.
I love how low to the ground they are too. That's the other thing is they look like, they are standing up and sitting down at the same time. Like they found the happy medium.
And maybe that's part of the name. They are happy. No, because I would love that. I enjoy a good nap, but I enjoy a good sit. But I also like to walk around and be active. So if I could do both at the same time, that'd be great.
Yep. Be great. Living the Hepabore dream.
Living the Hepabore dream. So as often we like to we described them, but now we want to go to our feelings here. And what did we enjoy about seeing that thirsty Hepabore in The Force Awakens? Now we are talking about the Hepabore. Mm-hmm. Go back to that moment, Joseph. 7 years ago, we're in the beginning of the movie. We're still in the first act. We're still got a lot of Star Wars in front of us, and we're still trying to, oh my gosh, Star Wars is back. You and I had this kind of surreal experience. Oh, Gen 2, like, oh, here we are. We can't believe we're watching a Star Wars movie. And the Hepabore is one of the first big things we say. See, what did you enjoy about that?
Well, I really enjoy that whole first chunk of The Force Awakens because it really is Star Wars is back and it's capturing all these things. There's fear and terror and violence, but then there's also like camaraderie and action, forward movement. And then there's, you know, pathos and sadness and depth with Rey's introduction and leading through this, all of these great Star Wars emotions, that scene of Finn walking through the desert in mortal danger, shedding his existence as a stormtrooper. It's got such weight. And I remember just being like, I know he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
There's some other clips of him in this film. But feeling like the terror and the horror of wandering through a desert. And I really enjoyed that moment of relief and that moment of whimsy where this is gross water, but it's water. And he even got that moment. He's like, I don't know if I want to keep drinking this, but then he keeps going for it. And then on top of that, you get the Hepabore sliding in there, bringing in that bit of Star Wars whimsy that can come from the animals, from the beasts of burden. So I was like, this is great classic Star Wars. But then the shot. The straight animal butt shot. The feeling that like, look, we went through the footage. We looked at this. We tried. This is the angle we need to tell the story. There's no way around it. We need to go. We need to line up like the Hepabore's butt is a spokesperson. Like it's Rod Serling introducing the Twilight Zone straight onto the camera. We got to do it.
Do it. It's the detail of the butt and the tail.
It really is.
It really is the detail. And you know, I'm giggling like a 12-year-old in seventh grade laughing at butt jokes. But I mean, it's so prominent. And I love going to zoos. Zoos aren't for everyone. I do enjoy the LA Zoo a lot. I'm a member there. And I love staring at the animals and just seeing them walking around. And it's just such a real shot. It's just such a, there's that big elephant doing his thing. And talk about, you know, the enjoyment that came out of it. You're right. The first act. And you and I are not alone in loving the first act of The Force Awakens and Daisy is Rey and getting to know Finn and all the stuff. And yeah, even looking back 7 years ago, it's a simpler time, if you can believe that, for Force Awakens. But the escape from the finalizer in Poe and Finn and the TIE fighter escape was one of those moments that I celebrated as like, this is still going to be Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm all for Star Wars pushing some boundaries and all those kind of things. But you know, it just felt like that magical Star Wars moment. And then to have this kind of be one of the big moments afterwards where, Tito, we've already met Tito and a Lugga Beast and this fantastic kind of Star Wars kind of creature design. We'll talk a little bit about the creature design, but just to be here, it was reminiscent of Jabba's palace to me. It was reminiscent of as a kid and just going, is that a, what is that? What is a monoman? Like, what is going on there? Like, and you talk about the whimsy. Whimsy is big for us in Star Wars. It doesn't mean it always needs to be there, but it's a key ingredient. And And this just, I felt at home. I really felt home, which is why I think I just have always loved that Hapabore. And what a name, too, when you discovered that from the visual dictionary.
Yeah.
Hapabore. It just makes me happy. I'm a happy boar, not a medicated dewormer, but I'm a happy boar around the happy boar.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, a patient, slow, big, you know, lumbering creature. I really like looking at that scene that, like, it really doesn't want to share with Finn because, like, there's mm-mm. plenty of water in it. It moves. It rounds a corner. It comes around to an entirely different angle.
Yes.
Like it's trying to get its butt in the shot. It's like an extra trying to be seen. I think the other thing that is whimsical to me about it is, you know, going back to some of the conversations that happened when Force Awakens came out and some that have only kind of escalated since then about, you know, really wanting practical, like, okay, great. Here's a practical butthole. Did Star Wars feel real? No computer made this. And then that idea that, you know, I understand it's a lengthy conversation. We've had it a lot about the balance of new and old in The Force Awakens. It was Star Wars returning. I think there's a lot new in there. We've done whole episodes on it. But I think this is going to be my go-to answer now when somebody's like, there's nothing new in Force Awakens. Like, oh, yeah. How many buttholes have you seen in Star Wars? So you tell me there's nothing new in Force Awakens? Look at this.
I would challenge George Lucas himself at a food court with Sbarro. Say, you think there's nothing new in Force Awakens? You didn't put any Rancor butt on screen.
Let's zoom into this.
Beast of Burden, you mentioned him, had quite a place in Star Wars. A lot of them we love. We celebrate Beast of Burdens around these parts here in Star Wars. Maybe because I've always felt I'm a cart puller, not a sprinter. So I'm kind of a Beast of Burden. At least I feel like a Dubek. Actually, I think I feel more like a Hapabore. Maybe that's why I connected to him. But what is unique about Hapabores in this Hapabore to you, just as in the Star Wars pantheon of Beast of Burden?
Yeah, I think the context was just different because so many of the Beasts of Burden we had encountered, particularly, you know, on screen, were either threats. They were like, they're scary and they're monsters and they're coming to get you, or they were rides. You know, it was really like animals serve two purposes in Star Wars. You can ride them or run from them.
Yes.
And I
yes.
did like that this is just this lumbering beast just going about its thing of just like whatever, you know, the Hapabore's day is like, this is the water break, you know, and it wasn't, it is a beast of burden, but it didn't have a rider. And it wasn't, you know, a big threat. It just wanted to not share. It didn't actually try to eat Finn. It was just like, that's my water, dude.
That's fine. You know, I think it was, the personality just shot off the screen for me. I don't feel I got to know Dubaks until later in life, right? I don't feel Rontos came a little bit later for me in my Star Wars experience, 97. But I don't know if I can describe a Rontos personality to you yet. I got everything I needed to know about that Hapabore in that scene. And that was unique. You know, Eopes, we definitely learned a lot about Eopes. And I guess George would counter with, I did put some butt action in the prequels.
That's not true. That's true. I'll have to go back and look at the clarity of the Eopes, you know.
Hindquarters.
There. Reporting hindquarters, yeah.
So in the great food court debate, George might win that round, but we still have some debating to go on. But, you know, it was so fun to see that. You know, Shaxx, love Shaxx, but yeah, I don't know the Shaxx personality other than they maybe don't like Anakin. In a short amount of time, I just felt like a Hapabore was a character I could have in my backyard, a beast I could have in my backyard to ride, to carry, sure, but to hang out with.
Yeah, exactly. And the Shaxx are a perfect example. At first, they're just Hapabore, like they're just doing their thing. And then Anakin needs to ride them and make them a threat. He makes them fall in line with standard beasts of burden.
Yeah. Oh, Anakin, what are you doing, Anakin? Showing off. Love that there. Yeah, I don't want to, there's no need to rank the Beasts of Burdens, but I've always felt that this is one of the unique things about the Hapabore while we're celebrating here.
Exactly.
Well, we've discussed a lot of this, but I think it's a good way to kind of take this part of the discussion home. What is the magic of Hapabores and what do they bring to the Star Wars saga for you?
Yeah, I think it is this energy that you're talking about relating to them. Like they're kind of like a beast if it was a couch. You know, Some beasts aren't in a rush. Some beasts don't have a big mission. Some beasts aren't angry about things. Some just want some water and then just to watch their stories. It's just the vibe of the Happapore.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Douglas Adams will be proud of that description. Adding on to the personality and the presence, but talking about 2015 and Star Wars is back and the magic, the little things. And it's always kind of weird to say, well, that feels like Star Wars. Cause what is that? And I'm again, always excited to find new things and have those become Star Wars for me, even though I hadn't thought about it. But in this particular moment, in the first act of this film, I just felt like I clearly had never seen a Happapore before, but I just felt like they existed the entire time. And the design was over the top. That's an over the top snout, you know, little ducks. I always say snoot for a little duck, little duck snoot, but that's an over the top snout, pig nose, butt, tail. It's so over the top in a wonderful way, but it just felt like Jabba probably had two in the back of the palace pulling skiffs out. Like it just made sense to me. And that is the magic. The magic is that it just felt like they were always there. And that was fun for me. As a Star Wars fan in 2015.
I love that perspective because, yeah, you're right that the big snoot and the tiny eyes, just like the data bank says, like, let's push this into fun comic territory.
There it is. There it is. And I love the scene. I love the comedy. I think it's some of, John Boyega's finest work is fighting for water with the Happapore. There you go. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Data Bank Dive, but on the other side, we got a little bit more of the Happapore, and we're going to give our rankings for how weird is the Happapore. Stick around for more Data Bank Dive.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Data Bank Dive here on the Force Center podcast feed. This is a chance for me, Ken Apsok, and Joseph Grimshaw to look at some of the more wild, weird, and wondrous parts of Star Wars and find all the love, the joy, the magic, the big themes there within. Today we're talking about the Happobor, and make this personal here, Joseph. You mentioned the design and the Happobor, and doing some research for this episode, I discovered was one of the first designs for The Force Awakens by Neil Scanlan's excellent team, because they wanted to show that they could what they could do with practical effects, which takes me back to a time, 2013, 2014, 2015, leading into this movie, where we heard that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Practical effects. You know, those nasty prequels had all the computer stuff. Now, JJ and his team didn't say that, but that was kind of the discussion at the time. I understand that, though people would counter, including George in that food court debate we're having. Hey, Phantom Menace had much more practical stuff than people realized. We hear John Knoll talk about that. And we also know The Force Awakens had much more computer stuff and CGI and all those enhancements. Of course. But the Cell was practical effects. So the fact that this is one of the first ones, this is pretty amazing. And feel free to comment on that too here. But the question I have, Joseph, is you walk onto set and you turn the corner. How do you react to seeing a working life-sized Happobor? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is kind of the value of practical, because you really can't imagine it, right? I mean, it would be extra scary to walk around the corner in, you know, encounter Sebulba, because how does that exist? A Happobor would be like, I could believe that this actually evolved on planet Earth.
Yeah,
and it was forgotten. There is something tangible about the Happobor. But I think this is really goes to what we're talking about the different mood of a Happobor. Almost any other Star Wars creature, even ones I like, I turn in the corner and there's a Viractyl roaring at me, I'm scared. You know,
yeah,
a Dubak, I'm scared. A Tauntaun, I want to ride it, but I'm also scared. Right, a Happobor. If I encountered it in real life, I would only be scared if I was carrying a water bottle. Because
yes.
I would fear it'd be like mine and like accidentally eat my arm in its attempt to take my Dasani. That's the only way I'd be scared. I think I would see if I could walk up to it gently, pat its snout, and then see if it would let me just climb on its back and read. Like, I don't even want to ride you. I just want to lie on you.
It's a like you said, it's a couch, but it's a beast of your burden. It carries your burden for you. You
can exactly relax. Exactly.
I love this. Yeah, and yeah, it does speak to the practical nature of things. And I would react like Boba Fett does in Book of Boba Fett to Banthas, actually, you know, especially at the end, go make beautiful baby Banthas, that whole conversation, that vibe, I think would be me, but in real life on the set, I would want to ride it. Or I'd feel like, I love the, you know, Ewan McGregor talking about, you know, on the set of Phantom Menace and seeing the bongo and just kind of get lost in the moment and saying, does it submerge? Do we get to take this underwater? I'd be like, does this move? Can I ride it? Like, no, it's a prop to sit there. It's going to move, but you can't ride it. I think I'd be lost in them. And a lot of it goes to what we're describing about the Happobor. And funny, and I was thinking about the Banthas, even while you're talking there, like, we didn't even learn about the Banthas' personalities till later. Like, I don't feel like I knew a Bantha. in A New Hope. But now I do. And now I'm very protective from, thanks to Mando and Book of Boba Fett, very protective of Banthas being used as bait for Krat dragons.
Yeah, no, that's upsetting.
Yeah, because they're so great. And those big teeth that you want to brush. So I think, yeah, I'd be thrilled. And you see a Happabore and they just, I'd approach with caution. But again, I'm talking about a prop, so I'd still approach it with caution. But they seem so friendly. And a lot of that I know you have a kind of an art and design background that I don't have, but that concept of, this is a stereotypical definition of beauty, but a lot of times who's considered or what is considered a cute or beautiful has to do with like oversized features, like big eyes, cheeks. Yeah. So the nose, that nose is just so cute. You just want to go pet it and let it drink its water and back off. But it's a lot of that's there. And again, I'm talking about an actual set, a practical effect. If I was John Boyega on that day, this is all the things I'd do.
How big do you think the snout holes are? Like practically, like, do you think, I guess I can pull up an image. I was wondering if like, I think they're cute. Like the snout is cute, but there's also like, my whole arm goes up there.
You don't want
to be like right next to a Happabore when it takes like a big breath through its snout holes, right? Because like, would your head fit in there?
I agree with that. And what? Oh my gosh, I'm doing a. Oh my gosh, who's selling these Happabore figures? I am on a. I just did an image search to try to. I think the Happabores. Oh my gosh, there's a great photo from the set. I'm looking online. I can't even trust. I'm in some chat thread on rebelscub.com. There's a Happabore with a blue tarp being pulled off of it. You could get half your body up that.
Yeah, snout holes. I was forgetting the word nostril. So thanks for bringing that back into my vocabulary. You know, snout holes.
Oh, this is, oh my gosh, this is crazy. This is happening live on air. This is why I'd love doing live to tape. This is a spoiler forum from June 5th, 2014. It's a leaked set photo, which I do not like leaked set photos, but now we are 8 years removed from this photo. And there's people reacting to it in the chat saying, the excitement for it. And it's like a dewback. And I'd love to toss this next to a dewback or a land speeder as a figure. Oh, this is fascinating. It's fascinating. Because this is a toy website, Rebel Scum, of course, a lot of people know, Vintage to Modern Star Wars Collecting. So this is hey, look at this set image. Would you want to buy a figure of it? and they're championing. No, it's no CGI. It's built. It's manned by four or five people. Crazy times. I definitely don't approve of leaked set photos, but 8 years after, this is fascinating research. All to answer the question of, Joseph, I'd stick half my body in that nostril.
And this is just turning into Google with Ken and Joseph. Mm-hmm. I'm scrolling down the image list, and I remember that there was a Happabore in one of the animated shorts of Forces of Destiny. There we go. But I forgot that a part of the story is the Happabore just has a big thing stuck up its nose. So you scroll down, there's an image with Rey sticking her hand all the way up the snout hole or nostril, if you're fancy. So that's maybe where some of the visceral fear of being trapped in the nostril came from, seeing Rey just reach up in there.
You're so right. And this is crazy. And scrolling down further, so the Disney parks... On this thread, the Disney parks by November was selling these, and maybe on their Disney shop website, their latex scale with the 3 3/4 figures. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can get these anymore. I would love to get my hand in one of these. And the photo shoot I'd have with my chihuahuas would be amazing. and this whole episode's a walk down memory lane. We're celebrating 7 years of Force Awakens. And someone has a picture of, hey, I got one of the Happabore toys and it's next to something called the, Guavian Death Gang Trooper. Guavian Enforcer. So, wow. Crazy times, all in celebration of the wonderful Happabore.
Look at that. That is right.
All right. Well, before you and I start adding to cart from eBay, we'll have our final, most important question of the day. Now jumping into the story, Joseph, if you were in Finn's shoes and maybe you'd be out of the shoes based on the heat and the conditions he was experiencing there, would you share that water with that Happabore?
Oh, yes, I would. I would not fight when the Happabore body checked me. You know, if I didn't have to go intervene in a fight between Onkar's thugs and Ray, I would go try to like find a cup or anything I could make as a cup, and I would just like try to scoop a little bit of water and get so far away.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's clearly the Hapabore's trough. Don't want to mess with their thing, and I don't want them to lazily forget I'm there, take a deep breath in, and suck half my body up their nostril.
No, we do not want that. Yeah, I'm with you. I think you got to do what you got to do. I'm, you know, infamous for having most meals at gas station convenience stores, so I can eat and drink a lot of questionable things, I guess. But I don't want to, you know, encroach on the Hapabore. But if I'm that thirsty and I've just experienced what Finn had, I am sharing with that Hapabore. I'll let him have more, but I'm going to have a big gulp of that water.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I've been marching through the desert, absolutely drinking that nasty Hapabore water.
Hapabore water. Hopefully it's just the water. All right. Our final rating time. We're going to rate the wild, weird, wondrous factor of the Hapabore. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos that we love, Lobot. So, Joseph, out of 10 Lobot heads, of course, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give the Hapabore and Hapabores in general?
Well, you know, I was going to go a little bit lower than I normally do. I was going to go 5 out of 10 Lobot heads, because in a way, what is fresh about the Hapabore, especially, you know, 7 years ago, is, you know, some of the creatures had been wilder or scarier, and the Hapabore's charm really is just this like doop-a-doop-a-doop, going about my day kind of vibe, which made it a little bit more normal. But you know what? I'm going to bump up to 6 Lobot heads, because while we're talking, I went to Disney Plus, I muted it, and I started Phantom Menace to see the Yopi butt situation. And you definitely see anatomy, but there is ambiguity. And that's what's different. Uh-huh. People can show me many shots from Star Wars of the posterior of an animal, but there's always mystery. Is that fur? Is that some sort of gland? What is that? We don't know. That's what's different about the Hapabore. Those are those are cheeks. That's a, you know. So I'm going to bump it up. The clarity gets it up to 6 Lobot heads.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I too understand what you're saying about it. It's just so part of Star Wars. It's so normal. That's what I love about the Hapabore. But I think you toss in the personality, the collecting of water, the fact that it is really patient with you, despite the fact that you might mistreat it. It's just a wondrous kind of stew of a lot of different things. And it is totally weird. Just look at that face. It's weird the most wonderful ways. So I'm going to go 7. I'm going to go 7 out of 10 Lobot heads for that.
Nice. Nice.
Sounds like, almost seems like I'm bidding $1. Price is right on you, but I'm not there. So that is it. That is our discussion on the Hapabore. Any final thoughts on the Hapabore, Joseph? 7 years on.
No, it's really fun to reflect on the Hapabore, and it's really fun to reflect on The Force Awakens and reflect on all the joy that it came out when it came out and the fun of learning these new names. I remember not knowing the Hapabore's name and wanting to, and that's always a fun place to be.
It is indeed. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you have having a lot of fun looking back on Force Awakens. Maybe you have some, your own memories you want to share. There's ways you can do that. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. And from there, you can link to all the other things we do, including our YouTube channel. We've been highlighting the YouTube channel. If you want to subscribe over there and help us reach our next goal of 7,000 subscribers as we grow the channel, please consider it and do so if you want. You can find me at Ken Knapsack or KenKnapsack.com. Raring up for some new things in the new year. Podcast shows, more comedy shows, all those things. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media with the handle at Joseph Scrimshaw in particular. I'd love for you to come find me on Instagram as all this social media shuffles around. I think Instagram's going to be one where people end up spending some time. So feel free to find me on Instagram. You can also go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, or check out my YouTube channel. Just search for Joseph Scrimshaw there as well.
There you go. There you go. There you go. All right, everybody, for the Hapabores everywhere who just want a drink, this has been Data Bank Dive on Force Center. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.